Good Tuesday morning. I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to your Playbook audio briefing sponsored by U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
And I'm Jake Sherman. Last year, we laid out why we thought the State of the Union was a bit worthless, both on a practical level and specifically because of how Donald Trump governs. He speaks publicly all the time, so a speech in the House chamber, while longer than most of his missives, is not terribly unique. As always, both sides are in their corners. But this year, we are seeing signs that the State of the Union will be less believable than ever before.
The White House is teeing up that the message for this State of the Union is bipartisanship and working across the aisle. But the only bipartisanship we can see is that members of both parties are increasingly opposed to Trump. Republicans have begun speaking out against his foreign policy, have snubbed him on his wall, and are prepared to block him if he tries to build it on his own. The most recent example of bipartisanship was when the president ended the shutdown, and in that case, he adopted the Democrats' position.
Trump is a president who frequently urges moderation and yet exercises his most extreme instincts. So you might forgive people who are naturally skeptical of the White House's message. The First Lady has invited a child named Joshua Trump to the State of the Union because, quote, he has been bullied in school due to his last name. Of course, this is sad and bullying is awful. But again, it's a bit rich for the Trump White House to make bullying its issue du jour. Crying Chuck, lying Hillary, denying Dick, Pocahontas, lying Ted.
Here's what you should watch for. Any incremental movement on the border wall? Will the president alter in any way his position? A call for infrastructure spending would be well received in the chamber. Anything on USMCA, the trade deal Trump needs to pass, and revealing the location of his second summit with Kim Jong-un. The speech will begin at 9 p.m.
The New York Times is reporting that Trump spent 2 hours going over his speech with Stephen Miller. The Times also notes that he is expected to do another teleprompter and lectern practice session today because this is one of the few times that he's expected to stick to the script. The Times also has an op-ed on Trump looking at how the country appears to be on the right track by many measures, but polls still show that 3 in 5 Americans think the country is on the wrong track. The Wall Street Journal also has an editorial about how Trump has to guard against an economic slump in order to win re-election in 2020.
Meanwhile, Paul Ryan is hitting the speaking circuit. He will speak at the spring conference of the National Investment Center for Seniors Housing and Care in San Diego, February 21st. And the Wall Street Journal has a piece up on Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell having dinner with President Trump last night. The New York Times has the latest in Virginia, reporting that Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax has denounced a sexual assault allegation, calling it a smear.
Our colleague James Arkin reports that Senator John Cornyn is bracing for a brutal re-election battle in Texas. Melanie Zanona has a look at how Duncan Hunter, Chris Collins, and Steve King have basically been excommunicated from the House Republican Conference and have little to do. On the investigations front, ABC News scooped that New York prosecutors are seeking records from Trump's inaugural committee. And CNN reports Paul Manafort will be sentenced March 13th. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.